This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
I mean it. Don't spend your whole life doing something you can't stand. We should love our lives and we should enjoy our lives. And you can't do that if you're trying to be something other than what you are. I want to talk to you this afternoon. Just a little message that God dropped in my heart one afternoon, and I wrote it down, called Stay in Your Own Lane. You know, if you think about driving a car, if you drift out of your lane, you're likely to get in a wreck or cause a wreck. And our lives are the same way. We need to know what our lane is and get in it and stay in it. And you know, when you find out what your sweet spot is or what it is that you're supposed to be doing, what you're gifted for and talented for, the devil will use any number of ways to try to get you out of it. And one of the things that happens is we begin to compare ourselves with other people, and maybe we're not doing what they're doing, and maybe it looks like what they're doing is more important or it's better than what we're doing, and so we fall into the trap. And I think everybody probably does this at least once in their life. For some people, it's a lifetime problem of trying to be something that they're not. We think that we should be like this one or like that one. We should look like you or act like you or behave like you or be able to do what you do. And not only do we think that, but a huge mistake that human beings make is they think if they're good at something, that everybody else should be good at that too. Come on now. How many of you get frustrated at other people that you're in relationship with because they can't do it as fast as you do it or the way you do it or they can't do it at all? Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's somebody that you're married to. And in a marriage, you fall in love almost always with somebody that's different than you. And then as soon as you get married to them, you start trying to change them and make them like you are. And that's such a mistake, because the reason why we're drawn to people that are not like us is because we need them. We have certain gifts, other people have certain gifts, and the way God wants his body to work is for each of us to bring what we have and work together without comparison or without thinking that our job determines our worth and value. Now, I'm going to say that again. Your job, your career, does not determine your worth and value. Amen? We have to stop looking at somebody and thinking because they seem to have what the world would deem as a more important job, and notice I said what the world would deem as a more important job, that makes that person more important than them or better than them. The only thing that we need to do is find out what God wants us to do and do it, and we will get an equal reward. If I'm on the platform because that's where God has given me the grace to be, and people listen to me speak, or if I'm a great singer, which I'm not, but there were people up here before me that were, and maybe then there's somebody else here that their job is to stay here after all this is over and clean the place up, maybe clean up the restrooms after us and sweep the place up. People tend to think, well, I'm just a janitor. Or I hate to hear a woman say, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Let me tell you, the minute you say that, well, I'm just this, you're already saying that you're lowering yourself or what you think of yourself. And I'll tell you what, I mean, I remember being home with three kids. And I tell you what, that's not just in anything. I mean, that can turn you every which way but loose. And it's a big job. You're not just a stay-at-home mom. My gosh, you're a mother. You're taking care of, women take care of so many things. And they are so valuable and so, such multitaskers. They have tender hearts and they care about things. And so one of my goals today is I want everybody to go out of here today feeling good about yourself. And I want everybody to go out of here knowing that you don't have any reason or right to compare yourself with anybody else. And if you're doing this, I want you to stop comparing yourself with other people. You don't need to look like them, act like them, know what they know, do what they do. You need to just be you. And you don't need to apologize for being you. You need to be yourself because everybody else is already taken. Amen? So, if you get out of your lane and you're trying to run somebody else's race, you're going to sure end up with a wreck in your life. And I can tell you there are people sitting in here today and people listening and watching on different devices, and the only reason why you're unhappy is because you're trying to be something you're not. I mean, that is the only reason. And you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, because you think you're supposed to, because people tell you you should. You ought to. It's amazing. Everybody that does something thinks everybody else ought to do it. But that's not the way it should be. You know, I used to sit in church and think, oh man, I wish I could sing like her. Boy, she got such a beautiful, I just wish that I could sing like her. And you know, God taught me a lesson. He said, you know, I put gifts in other people for you to enjoy, not for you to be jealous of. Now, I have a gift of communication, and I'm going to be able to communicate some things to you today about the Word of God that's going to help you understand it in a better way. So all you need to do is sit there and enjoy my gift. My gift causes me to have to work, but you get to enjoy it. And see, your gift causes you to have to work, but then I get to enjoy it. And I can tell you, before God can do very much with you, you're going to have to come to terms with and get comfortable being yourself. Amen? You can't want to be, I want to be just like you, or I'm going to be the next Joyce Meyer. Well, I hope not. I mean, I hope there's only one of me, and whatever you do, I hope it's greater than anything that I've done. Don't settle for being like somebody else. Be the best version of yourself that you can be. And stop apologizing for yourself. Amen? Do what you're good at. Don't be afraid to just do what you're good at. I don't know. Do we really believe God wants us to be happy? Do you really think he's going to force you into a career that's going to make you miserable? Wonder how many people keep a job they hate just because they make a little more money than they would make if they took the job they'd really love to do. Come on, I'm going to say that again real slow. Do you know how many people hate their job? I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate the people I work with. I hate the drive to work. God doesn't want us to hate our lives and hate what we do. So you say, well, then why don't you get a different job? Why don't you do something else? Well, you know, I can't afford to give up the money. I make good money. I'll tell you something, joy is a lot more important than money. Now, obviously, we need money, but you'd be better off to find a way to cut your expenses and get a job where you can be happy than to spend your whole life doing something that you hate and dread. And I hope that I push somebody over the edge today and you just get enough guts to just quit that job you can't stand. I mean it. Don't spend your whole life doing something you can't stand. We should love our lives and we should enjoy our lives. And you can't do that if you're trying to be something other than what you are. God always gives us grace for our place. So many people don't seem to know what they're supposed to do with themselves in life. I just don't know what I'm called to do. You know, if you really don't know what you're called to do, just try a few things. And just find what you're comfortable with. Find what you enjoy. Find what you're good at. You know, when I fell in love with Jesus, I just wanted to serve God. I just wanted to work for him and do whatever I could do. And I was willing to try anything. I never was one of these kind of people that spent half my life waiting for God to tell me what I was called to do. I just got busy, and if the church had a evangelism team and they wanted us to go out, and the church I went to had a big street ministry in downtown St. Louis, and they had this big thing about passing out tracts. I'll never forget those tracts. They were white and yellow and had a little Jesus loves you smiley face on them. And we would go into downtown St. Louis and give these tracts to strangers and say Jesus loves you. And I hated it. You say, well, what kind of a thing is that to say that you hated giving out gospel tracts? I hated it. It was embarrassing. I had to make myself do it. I didn't like it. And we went in the winter and it was freezing cold. And I remember the first tract I tried to give to somebody, they slapped it out of my hand and said, I don't want that blankety blank blank thing. But then there's other people that are really anointed for that kind of evangelism. And I mean, you don't, if you're a sinner, you don't want to get in an elevator with them because you'll be saved by the time you get out. I tried door-to-door evangelism, and that was all I did was go door-to-door, and I let everybody else do all the talking. But you get me up here, you can put me in front of 20 million people, and I'll be just as bold as I can be and say anything I believe God wants me to say. So why could you get in front of 20 million people and talk, but you don't want to face down one person? I don't know. And what's more, I don't care. All I know is God's got everything covered, and we don't have to all do everything. We just need to find out what we're good at and do that. And just because somebody else is comfortable doing that doesn't mean there's something wrong with me or something wrong with you because we don't want to do that. Are you there? I bet somebody just got set free. And so then, and I did the street thing for a long time, and I just didn't enjoy it. I dreaded it coming. It just wasn't me. And then, of course, I felt guilty because I didn't like it. You know, I felt like I should like it. I should want to do it. And I think sometimes as leaders, although we may not even realize what we're doing, they pushed that so hard at the church that I went to at that time about passing out these gospel tracts everywhere you went. I got to the point where I didn't even want to go out of the house because I felt like that all I could do was face strangers and try to give them a gospel tract. I guess you're all bold and none of that would bother you, right? You just love to do that. And so then I tried working in the nursery. They needed nursery workers. And it took about 2 weeks, and me and the babies both knew I wasn't called to do that. Come on. But then I got this idea that I was going to get this group of women together, and in one summer we were going to put gospel tracts on cars and parking lots. And so I got a handful of women together because I'm a natural leader and I can motivate people to do things. And in just a couple of months, we put 10,000 gospel tracts under windshields on cars. And then I got called in before the elders of the church and got in trouble because I did it without getting their permission. Now, that's sometimes how religious hierarchy works. They're going to stand and tell you what you ought to be doing, but then if you try to do what you feel comfortable doing or what you're called to do, then you get in trouble because you didn't get somebody's permission to go do it. Come on. So as leaders, we need to help people. We need to not force them to do what we want them to do, but we need to help them find what they're comfortable and gifted and anointed to do. And by the way, that's your job as a parent too. Train up a child in the way they should go, according to their individual gift or bent, the Amplified Bible says. Not try to fulfill your unfulfilled dreams through them and make them do what you never got a chance to do. Get in your own lane and stay there. Enjoy your life. You know, Jesus said that he died that we might have and enjoy our lives. I mean, that turned my world upside down when I saw that many, many, many years ago. We're not just here to make it through till Jesus comes back. We're supposed to enjoy this, enjoy our journey, enjoy everything that we do. Even Adam and Eve were told to enjoy all the food in the garden. We're supposed to enjoy one another. Enjoy the life that God tried to give us. Romans 12, 3 through 8. For by the grace given unto me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned to him. Now, this is a good message in itself because it's saying, okay, whatever gift you have, whatever grace God has given you to do what you do, don't make the mistake of thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to by thinking that it's you doing it. Because it's not you doing it, it's God doing it through you. That's exactly why no matter what we do, our who is what's important. It's who we are in Christ, and everybody in Christ is equal no matter what you do or don't do. Amen? And if you don't realize that what you're good at because God has enabled you and gifted you to be good at it, you will fall into that trap of thinking that everybody else should be able to do what you do. Anybody know what I mean? Do you ever have anybody that's just gotten aggravated with you because you couldn't do what they do? Yeah, come on. I'm going to find somebody to talk to in here. Yeah. Can you imagine how it must mess a kid up if they have a parent who is constantly railing on them because that kid can't do what they do or what that parent thinks they should do? Or the worst thing, comparing your kids with each other. Well, why can't you be like your sister? Why aren't you as smart as your brother? Don't ever compare your kids with one another. Matter of fact, go to the other extreme of telling them you're not supposed to be alike. God's created us all uniquely different. Come on, I hated myself for too many years and I finally got over it and I want to help you get over it too. For as in one body we have many members and the members do not all have the same function. No matter how bad you want to, you just can't do everything that everybody else can do. Thank you. That must mean you need this. I can just feel that some of you uptight people. Come on. We don't come to church to impress each other. Let me tell you something. As long as you feel the need to impress somebody, you are never free. Never free. You're only free when you can be completely what God has gifted you to be, not apologize for it, not compare yourself, and I don't need to try to impress you. That's why I can enjoy what I'm doing and just love you. And I really just feel in my bones that somebody is just going to get a breakthrough today. That, I mean, you're going to get it. I'm okay. I am okay. There is nothing wrong with me because I am not you. There's nothing wrong with me because I weigh 10 more pounds than you do, and no matter what I do, I can't lose it. Don't you love those people who forget to eat? I may forget a lot of things, but I never forget to eat. Amen? One person can cut soda out of their diet and lose 50 pounds, and somebody else can live on bread and water and gain weight. Pressing on. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ. Everybody shout out, I'm different.
I'm different.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And let me just say this. You can have 10 people that have the same gift, but the strength of that gift may be different in each one. You may have 10 people that have a lovely voice, but one who just is really just like stands out. You have one pastor that can pastor a church of 300, and then you have somebody else that can minister to the whole world. If your gift is service, then serve. I have the gift of helps, but it's not in helping other people, it's in getting them to help me. Now, I can help people like this, spiritually preaching, I love this, but if you make a mess, I'm not going to be the first one to go grab something to clean it up, but I'll tell somebody else to get something and clean it up. Hey, I don't apologize for what I am. That's not the gift God gave me. I tried for a while to clean my pastor's house, and I hated it. I was just trying to impress him. I didn't really want to clean his house. Oh, it feels so good to just tell the truth, doesn't it? If you're a teacher, then give yourself to your teaching. And I love this part of these verses. It says, whatever your gift is, come on, give yourself to it. Come on, whatever your gift is, give yourself to it. In other words, focus on that. Why do we keep trying to be good at things we're not good at? You know, if you're a 2 at something, you can struggle all your life and maybe become a 4. But if you're an 8 at something, you can focus on that and work with God, and you can become a 10 real quick. The way to stand out is not to be halfway, maybe a little bit decent at 20 things, but it's to take 2 or 3 things that you're really gifted for and pour yourself into that and become outstanding at those things. You don't have to do what everybody else does. You don't have to do what everybody else does. If you're an exhorter, then give yourself to your exhortation. You know, Mike is our staff pastor. Mike, stand up a minute just so they know who we're talking about. He's our, we got enough employees, we got to pastor them. Because, you know, Christian people are not all perfect, and believe it or not, they can argue and, you know. So Mike's in charge of, what do we call it? Conflict. Mike's in charge of conflict resolution. And he's good at it. But now, Mike knows the name of every person in our building. He probably knows all their families' names. I run into people sometimes somewhere, and they'll say, "Hi, I work for you." "Oh, how long have you worked for me?" "12 years." And I don't know them. And you say, "Well, that sounds terrible." Well, I don't have the gift of running around the building. That's not my gift. My gift is to pray and preach and study and write and get these messages and do. Will you just get happy doing what God has called you to do? Oh, I better behave. Some of you are looking at me funny. Come on, just admit it. Don't you just get tired of the pressure? Does anybody just get tired of the pressure? You know what? Every pastor's wife doesn't have to play the piano and lead the ladies' group at church. And every woman doesn't have to like to cook. I know you know. Wow. Boy, guys, I think I just ruined your meals. You know who Darlene Check is? Most of the world knows who Darlene is. She says to me, "Don't you just love to cook in your off time?" And I'm like, "No. Why would I want to do that?" I tried it once. I mean, I used to cook all the time when my kids were little. I mean, I cooked big meal every night, packed lunches, and cooked breakfast, but I've been there, done that, I'm done with that. Amen? Hey, but if you're good at it, I'll take yours. What are you good at? What do you enjoy? God will not call you to a career that makes you miserable. If you try to do something that you're not gifted at, it will only frustrate you. And you'll forfeit your peace and your joy. And you know what else you'll do? You'll make the other people that you're in relationship with unhappy. Because if you're unhappy, it comes out of you and gets off on other people. And I think a lot of times when people are doing what they're not really gifted for and they're unhappy, they always look for something around them to blame it on. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I don't know if you've watched me very much, you've heard some of my stories, but I can't help it. I just gotta. Because this is just, when I look back, I think, how dumb can you be and still breathe? You know, I had a big call on my life. I felt like when God called me, he told me I was gonna go all around the world and preach the gospel. And which sounded stupid. I mean, I was somebody from nowhere with a broken past and a 12th grade education, barely passed English, and I think I'm going to preach to the world. And so for 5 years, I taught home Bible study, and then God said, "Behold, I do a new thing." Don't you love those words from God? "Behold, I do a new thing." So I quit the Bible study, laid that down, thinking, now I'm going to the world. And so for the next year, I did nothing. It was like God just set me on a shelf. And it was one of the biggest testing years in my life. But you know, really, when I look back, you live life forward, you understand it backwards. When I look back, I understand now that it was that year in my life that God taught me that I had to stop trying to be like somebody else. God was not going to let me into the ministry that he had for me if I was not going to get up here and not try to be Kenneth Copeland or Marilyn Hickey or somebody else, but if I would just be me. God doesn't want a bunch of clones of everybody else. He wants a fresh approach. Amen. But I had a lovely neighbor who just could do so many things that I couldn't do. She played guitar. I tried to learn to play guitar. My fingers are too short. It just doesn't work. Besides which, I came next to English. I came very close to failing music. So that wasn't good. I can play a harmonica a little bit. And I played a kazoo once in a church play. That's as far as it goes with me. But she was Susie Homemaker, I mean, to the max. She growed stuff in her garden. She canned tomatoes. She made jelly. You know, she made her kids' clothes and made a lot of her own clothes. And just, she mowed the lawn. She painted the house. She macrame'd plants. I mean, she just did it all. And I just wanted to tell everybody what to do. That was my gift. Let me tell you what to do. So during that year when God wasn't letting me do anything, she talked me into doing a bunch of this stuff that she did. She talked me into trying to grow tomatoes and canned tomatoes with her. And so I talked Dave into digging up a garden and she thought I should learn how to sew, so we got me a sewing machine. I went to some sewing classes. Anybody remember stretch and sew? Anybody? All right, there's a few people that are old as me, and you remember stretch and sew. And it was just like this real stretchy material, and so I made Dave a pair of shorts. It took me forever. I made him a pair of shorts. They were gray and had black piping on them, and when I got finished with them, the pockets were longer than the shorts. And then when you made mistakes, you sat with this little picker thing and you had to pick out one stitch at a time. I hated that sewing machine. I hated it all. I hated that garden, but I was trying to be the right kind of woman. Come on, because I just did not fit the mold. I wasn't what women are supposed to be. My pastor's wife was a beautiful, sweet, little submissive blonde that just adored her husband. Did everything he told her to. And I'm like, I ain't doing that. I don't feel like doing that. Do it yourself. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying I was right. I had to learn some things too, but no matter how much I learned, I'd never be like her. But I honestly tried to lower my voice. I mean, I did this. I had this garden, I had the sewing machine. I tried to talk softer and sweeter. Yes, honey. And behind the scenes, I'm thinking, you guys act like this is comedy hour. I want you to learn something. Are you learning anything? Well, the tomatoes came in. We had our canning equipment. I bought all this canning equipment. Woo, we're going to can tomatoes. So I went out the harvesting day and some bugs had come through and ate big holes in all my tomatoes. I mean, crop was ruined. I called her and I said, oh my gosh, some bugs have come in and eaten holes in all of our tomatoes. She ran out in her yard and checked and called me back. She said, my tomatoes are fine. Well, I got mad. I said, God, I prayed over my tomatoes. And I don't even know if she was spiritual enough to pray over her tomatoes. I mean, I cast devils off my tomatoes. I prayed on my tomatoes. And now they have these big holes and they're ruined. And you know what God said to me? I didn't tell you to grow tomatoes. I have no responsibility to protect your tomatoes. Come on now. So maybe you're trying to do something and it's just not working and not working and not working. Is anybody home in the house today? It's just not working and not working, and you cannot understand why it's not working. Well, wake up and smell the roses. Maybe God is opposing you. All right. Now, I've learned how to be a submissive wife. Dave, stand up and shake your head. Am I not a submissive wife? Nah, don't do that. What? Am I a submissive wife? Yes, I am a submissive wife. If you want to eat ever again, I am a submissive wife. Dave and I have so much fun together. You know why? Because he just loves me just the way I am. But I mean, I am absolutely serious when I tell you that I had to go through that before God could use me. That's the serious part of it. As long as you're trying to be something you're not, God cannot really use you. He has something that he wants to use you for, but you've got to be willing to be yourself. And if that means being different than everybody else, then you've got to be willing to do that. And if that means you get judged and criticized, then you've got to be willing to do that. Let me tell you something. When Jesus showed up on the scene, he was very different than anything they had ever seen before. And he brought a revolution. He brought revelation that turned the spiritual world upside down, and things have never been the same since. Amen? Now, one other thing. Oh, jiminy Christmas. Okay, listen. 1 Corinthians 12. The body does not consist of one member but many. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I refuse to be part of the body, would that make it any less a part of the body? Our body has to cooperate together, just like we're supposed to cooperate together. Do you know that I cannot get my shoes on if my hand refuses to help? I tried to think about it today, and there is, I mean, it would be impossible for me to get this boot off when I go home if my hand is just checked out and said, I'm not doing it. I don't want to be a hand anymore. I want to be a foot. And see, really, this whole analogy he's giving, which I can't do justice in the little bit of time I have, but the whole analogy that he's giving is that when we are jealous of one another and we try to be something we're not, then nothing functions right. One quick example that God gave me a long time ago. Let's just say that my eye, I got a really nice ring that somebody gave me years ago. And especially when I get my nails done, I always do that. It's pretty, see? Well, what if one day my eye said, you know what, I'm sick of looking at that ring. I want my own ring. I don't want to just look at the hand's ring, I want my own ring. Well, what if God said, okay, we want you to be a happy little Christian. So here you go. Have yourself a ring. Okay, now. Well, now listen. You can laugh later. I got what I wanted, but now I can't do anything else I'm supposed to do. Now I've crippled myself from being able to do what I'm really supposed to do, but I got what I wanted. And I think a lot of times God just gets tired of hearing us and he gives us what we say we want just to prove to us that it's not really what we wanted after all. Come on, give God a praise.
Joyce answers your question of the day soon, so stay with us.
You know, I really think what Joyce was just saying is one of the most important keys to being happy and satisfied. You see, when we start to compare ourselves with others, we just become miserable. God made you for something very specific. Be the very best version of yourself that you can be. He put something really special in you, and he wants to bring that out. And when you do that and you stop comparing yourself to everybody else and trying to be who they are, you will be the happiest person around. I promise you, it makes a huge difference. It's made a big difference for me. We have a book for you that we want to offer, and we're going to give this to you for any amount. It's called Enjoy Your Journey. And this book, we're giving it to you for any amount because it's just got some real gems in there. We want everyone to get it who possibly can. Are you enjoying your life? Do you tell yourself and others that you'll find happiness once you've arrived, once you've done what you want to do? Well, in this book, Joyce illustrates how you can be happy, rid yourself of regret, and just find joy even in times of waiting. You can start enjoying where you are on the way to where you're going. So if you would like to get this, and as I said, for a gift of any amount, we know that you'll do the very best that you can. Go online, call or click today and ask for this book. And don't forget, if you're interested in more answers online anytime, you can find them on our website on our Everyday Answers section. It's joycemeyer.org/EA. You'll remember that for Everyday Answers. There are answers there all the time. So pick up that book, go to our Everyday Answers session, and today, let this be a beginning where you say, I'm not comparing myself anymore. I will be who God made me to be. And we can't wait to see the difference it makes in your life.
Are you enjoying every day of your life? Or do you tell yourself you'll find happiness once you've reached a specific goal? Jesus came that we might have and enjoy life. In Joyce's book, Enjoy Your Journey, find the treasure hidden in every day. You'll learn biblical principles and practical ways to enjoy every day on your journey through life. Learn how to enjoy where you are right now on the way to where you're going. This book is available for a donation of any amount. Get it online at joycemeyer.org or call us 1-800-727-9673.
When life's battles come, will you be ready? Join us at the 2019 Love Life Women's Conference to discover the strategy to unleash the warrior inside and let God fight your battles. With musical guests, Phil Wickham.
This is Amazing Grace.
Donnie McClurkin. Brian and Katie Torwalt. Mandisa and Mac Brock. One conference, two opportunities, East and West. Go online, joycemeyer.org/lovelife. Join us and unleash the warrior inside. Register today.
How many trips have you been on now?
This is my third trip with Hand of Hope.
Uh-huh. And what was the main reason that you did want to do this? You said you wanted to travel to help people.
Yes, it's a total different work as a doctor here than back in my home country. But it's really, I feel like I really wanted to do that, to just help people in poor countries who cannot have access to medical care. I do that because I love Jesus. And I hope that the patients feel that. Sometimes we just pray right at the investigation table with them, so just to make them know that Jesus is the doctor all above us. Today's question comes to us from South Carolina, and she says that she's in a relationship that she's afraid to let go of, essentially. She says, I'm scared to leave him because I have a problem of letting go of people, even when it's hurting my relationship with God. I just have no peace about the relationship that I'm in. So please advise, how should she handle that?
Well, she really already knows the answer. I mean, honestly, and I'm not in any way trying to be mean about it, but she already knows the answer. I mean, the Bible says that you don't do things that you don't have peace about. And we should always put God first in everything. Seek first the kingdom, and everything else will be added. You know, any time that people choose to do something that they know is against the will of God, and I don't know any other way to say this other than to say it, too many people use the it's just too hard excuse. Mm-hmm. You know, God anoints us to do His will. And anything He asks us to do, we can do. Now, she's probably kind of in a situation where she's a little bit addicted to this guy.
Yeah.
And to be honest, you know, knowing my story about my mom and dad, he sexually abused me. She put up with it, knowing what he was doing. My dad ran around with other women all the time, and my mother knew it. And she, but she almost had like a love-hate relationship with him. It was like, in one way, she hated him, but she was almost like addicted to him. Like she just had herself convinced she couldn't do life without him. And all I can say is walk away and just let the pain do what it's got to do and know that it will eventually stop. You know, anytime that we don't want to give something up, there's going to be pain involved. You're going to feel it in your soul. You're going to feel it in your emotions. But that kind of pain is better than the pain of guilt and condemnation and fear and knowing that you're not pleasing God. So you can have a pain that's going to last for a short while and get you into the right place in life, are a pain that's never, ever, ever going to go away.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request, see the conference schedule, or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.